Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Hey, good morning. This is so exciting. Yes, thank you. I get to share with you guys again, and this is like talking to my family, so I'm very excited to be here. So we've been in the Beauty for Ashes series, and we will continue that this morning. We're actually going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 through 37 in the Message translation. Okay, this is important because we're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to have one of our own community members, Ms. Leslie Leonard. She's going to come up and she'll be doing some reading from the scripture. Actually, she'll be reading all of the scripture as I do the teaching. So please do not be alarmed when you see Leslie come up here, okay? This is planned. But it's so exciting to be able to do this because when you hear scripture read out loud, when you hear it, it hits different. And I know this because as I was studying and preparing for this, I came upon a YouTube video of an Irish woman reading this scripture in a dramatic reading, and it changed my sermon from what it was going to be. Ta-da! That's how God works. But this morning, you're going to hear it that way. And I sincerely hope, my biggest prayer for you this morning, is that you hear something from God for you, from God for us, from God for your family, that you will hear the word of God and it will speak to you. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to invite Leslie to come up. We're going to pray, and then she'll start the scripture, okay? Again, it's going to be 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 through 37. You can read along, but I really welcome and encourage you, if you can, to listen. So let's pray. Lord, we come before you with hearts that want to, need to believe in your goodness and restorative power. Give us the ability to hear from you this morning, that our minds may be transformed or awakened by your word. Keep us in a leaning forward position, God, as we anticipate your presence here. May your words bring peace to our souls and recenter our beings back on you. You are the living water we need this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
One day, Elisha passed through Shunem. A leading lady of the town talked him into stopping for a meal. And then it became his custom. Whenever he passed through, he stopped by for a meal. "I'm certain," said this woman to her husband, "that this man who always stops by with us is a holy man of God. Why don't we add on an extra room upstairs and furnish it with a bed and desk, chair and lamp, so that when he stops by, he can stay with us?" And so it happened that the next time Elisha came by, he went to the room and lay down for a nap. Then he said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the Shunammite woman I want to see her." He called her and she came to him. Through Gehazi, Elisha said, "You've gone far beyond the call of duty in taking care of us. What can we do for you? Do you have a request we can bring to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "Nothing. I'm secure and satisfied in my family." Elisha conferred with Gehazi. "There's got to be something we can do for her. But what?" Gehazi said, "Well, she has no son, and her husband is an old man." "Call her in," said Elisha. He called her, and she stood at the open door. Elisha said to her, "This time next year, you will be nursing an infant son." "Oh, my master, oh, holy man," she said, "do not play games with me, teasing me with such fantasies." The woman conceived. The next year, just as Elisha had said, she had a son.
Okay, let's take a moment to reflect on what we just heard. So the very first thing that popped out to me when I read this was the woman's response, the Shunammite woman's response. She was just offered something pretty big, you know, a baby. That's a big deal, guys. And her response wasn't to say, thank you, or to worship, or to, I don't know, do a dance, I don't know, something. Her response was, don't play games with me or tease me with these fantasies. So theologians actually think that this is a barren woman. But I think simply by her response, you can tell that in this area of life, of conceiving a child, it has been difficult. It has been an area of pain and most likely loss. And her response reflects that experience of loss. And this is a woman who has shown herself to be faithful. She built a room for a prophet Elijah. Guys, I haven't built a room for someone. I don't even have my nursery ready for my baby. I have a crib for him. But she built a room for this man. And so he came, and he would stay with them. And I'm sure she got to know him. And her faith should have grown, right? And she's shown herself to be faithful. So then when he offers her this impossible thing, her response shows this is an area where she has dealt with hopelessness. And so when Elijah offers her this hope of a promise, her initial reaction is, I don't believe it. Do not make promises you cannot keep. Because she has experienced that pain and loss. But this hope that Elijah's offering is filled with the promise of God. This is a different hope. I think we've all experienced this before, what she's experiencing in that moment, where there's an area in life. It could be anything, you guys, where you feel this defeating process. It could be an addiction. It could be a medical diagnosis. It could be a relationship, a marriage, a friendship, an estranged brother or sister, I don't know, anything. It could be a relationship. It could be any area of life where you have dealt with this defeating process, right? Where you try, fail, try, fail, try, fail. And after so much disappointment, your heart becomes a little hard. And when someone says, hey, I have a solution, there's doubt immediately. But this hope is different. And she has to deal with the fact that maybe it's not a false hope. Maybe. Because she has talked to Elijah, her faith is there. And so when Elijah offers her this, I can imagine that she kind of did this step back, like, But again, this promise is a promise from God, different from other hopes. See, when you enter into a relationship with God, when you enter into a yes, I'm going to say yes to this hope, the smallest step of saying yes to hope, just yes to hope. Immediately, there is this extension of grace towards you. And God will walk with you. And God will encourage you. And he'll walk with you through this valley, through the trial. And it is good. But she doesn't quite know that yet. But she'll find out. So we're going to continue with our reading.
The child grew up. One day, he went to his father, who was working with the harvest hands, complaining, "My head, my head." His father ordered a servant, "Carry him to his mother." The servant took him in his arms and carried him in to his mother. He lay on her lap until noon and died. She took him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut him in alone, and left. She then called her husband, "Get me a servant and a donkey so I can go to the holy man. I'll be back as soon as I can." But why today? It isn't a holy day. It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. She said, don't ask questions. I need to go right now. Trust me. She went ahead and saddled the donkey, ordering her servant, take the lead and go as fast as you can. I'll tell you if you're going too fast. And so off she went. She came to the holy man at Mount Carmel. The holy man, spotting her while she was still a long way off, said to his servant Gehazi, look out there. Why, it's the Shunammite woman. Quickly now, go and ask her, is something wrong? Are you all right? Your husband, your child? She said, everything's fine. But when she reached the holy man at the mountain, she threw herself at his feet and held tightly to him. Gehazi came to pull her away, but the holy man said, leave her alone. Can't you see she's in distress? But God hasn't let me in on why. I'm completely in the dark. Then she spoke up. Did I ask for a son, Master? Didn't I tell you, don't tease me with false hope? He ordered Gehazi, don't lose a minute. Grab my staff and run as fast as you can. If you meet anyone, don't even take the time to greet him. If anyone greets you, don't even answer. Lay my staff across the boy's face. The boy's mother said, as sure as God lives and you live, you will not leave me behind. So Gehazi let her take the lead and followed behind.
Okay, let's take a moment to reflect. So the worst happened. The things you thought might happen at the birth or happen right after birth, whatever it was that was her past experience, happened when he was still small enough to sit in her lap. In that moment, her world probably just crumbled inside of her. Could you imagine holding your child and they die? I think I would have just broken down. Guys, I know CPR and I would have broken down. That's my baby. But she didn't. She chose to do something very different. She gets up. She doesn't even weep, doesn't shed a tear. It doesn't say that she cries. She doesn't start, you know, washing the body, preparing it for burial. She doesn't even tell her husband, hey, our baby died. Doesn't even tell him. Just goes straight to go get a donkey, and she knows where she's going. She's going to go find the prophet Elijah because that's her connection to God. And this is the God who gave her this boy. And so she's going to go find him because she knows this is the root of my hope. I'm going to go find him. So here's what had happened. Here's what we didn't see. Elijah had offered her this child. The seed of hope had been planted. The seed of hope became this beautiful plant of faith. And we see it simply by the fact that the child has been born. So we know that her faith must have gotten stronger, right? She was given a promise and it was fulfilled. Despite her incredulousness, it was fulfilled. So her faith has grown. This is good. This is why she's on a donkey, guys. And so this is what makes the difference, guys, between hope in something other than God versus hope in God. When you have hope in God, you begin to have an increase of faith. But you also get a deep-rooted sense that even when you experience loss and pain, which she did, I'm not running over that. I'm not running past that, okay? I need you to know that even if you are a believer of God, a believer of Christ, pain and loss will happen. But because her hope is rooted in God, she knows that it is indeed well with her soul because she knows who this God is. So she gets on the donkey and goes. You know, Romans 15:13 says something that I think we could all take a little bit from, if not a lot. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So I love this. I love that it says, as you trust in him. This doesn't mean you have to come to God and be like, "I believe in you 100%. I know you got this." Yeah. Sometimes we do that, and that's good. But most of the time we come up and we're like, "This is happening. I need help, please." You don't have complete trust, okay? I don't know if in this lifetime I will have complete trust in God. There will always be a part of me that wants control. But she did. She experienced this. You don't have to put all your trust in God. Well, no, that's not true. You do have to give your trust to God. You have to give up control. However, you do not have to be this 100% awesome believer and just have it all nice and nifty. You can have some doubt. You can have fear. And God still, as you trust in him, will fill you with joy and peace. Here is the best part. The best part. You can extend what you have. I have doubt in this area. I have seen failure in this area. I have experienced pain and loss in this area. I don't know if you can do anything about this. Extend what you have to God. You bring it to him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be filled, overflowing with hope, not by your own strength, not by your own striving, but because of the Holy Spirit who will fill you with hope. So you get joy, peace, and hope. Yes. Simply by saying yes, yes to God, just a little bit of hope. And you see it, and you say, okay, I'm going to take it. This kind of hope is not a naive hope, okay? This is not optimistic, everything's gonna be awesome kind of hope. This is a genuine, life-giving, roots you to God kind of hope. Here's how I know. You guys remember Hurricane Harvey? It was a big one. During Hurricane Harvey, a lot of people ended up going to shelters, hurricane shelters. And there was this video that went viral. It was this woman and a group of volunteers who went to the hurricane shelters and started singing gospel music. These people in the shelters did not know if their homes were underwater. They probably had lost most things. But they had gotten there because they had to be there. Their homes or whatever, there was water around them. And so there they were singing gospel music. And people just surrounded them. They were drawn to the hope. They were drawn to what they were singing. Not just the beautiful music, but also what they were singing. This very much reminds me of what happened in Haiti a long time ago. I ended up going back in 2010. The earthquake had just happened. I went 3 months after the earthquake. It was a mess. In my little head, I was like, I'm going to do great things. No. If you ever go on a mission trip, just know God will do more for you there. You will receive so much more from God than you will ever think you can give. Okay? So just so you know, a little tidbit about missions. But I went there, and there was this church that we were invited to go to. And the church had no walls, because during the earthquake, all these buildings had crumbled down, and their church walls had just fallen down. The roof had fallen down. All that was left was like the steel rafters, and they hung lights around, and they had this massive generator, and the generator is what powered their electrical instruments, because they were going to worship. So they had the piano, the electric guitar, the electric bass, and they had all these microphones, and they were just really, they were doing church. Okay, if there were walls, they would have fallen down. And so there they were doing church, and then the generator just cut off. It was done. And you'd think there would be hesitation. There was no hesitation. The drummer just kept like boom, boom, boom. And the singers just clapped. And the congregation sang louder. And then they started dancing. And if you look and if you were really watching, they were dancing on the crumbled walls of the church, worshiping God. That That is the hope in God that we have. It is an eternal hope. It is a beautiful hope. And we get to participate in it. So our Shunammite woman, her hope became faith. And now our story continues as she leans into the promise of God.
And so Gehazi let her take the lead and followed behind. But Gehazi arrived first and laid the staff across the boy's face. But there was no sound, no sign of life. Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and said, "The boy hasn't stirred." Elisha entered the house and found the boy stretched out on the bed, dead. He went into the room and locked the door, just the two of them in the room, and prayed to God. He then got into bed with the boy and covered him with his body, mouth on mouth, eyes on eyes, hands on hands. As he was stretched out over him like that, the boy's body became warm. Elisha got up and paced back and forth in the room. Then he went back and stretched himself upon the boy again. The boy started sneezing. 7 times he sneezed and then opened his eyes. Elisha called to Gehazi, "Get the Shunammite woman in here." He called her and she came in. Elisha said, "Embrace your son." She fell at Elisha's feet in reverent awe. Then she embraced her son and went out with him.
I love this picture. For to an outsider, this is going to look weird, right? Here you have a full-grown man, and he lays his body on the body of a boy that just died. You have eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth, hands to hands. It's a really lovely picture, and it very much reminds me of yet another body that was stretched out, full of life, placed on 2 pieces of wood in the shape of a cross. And you have this exchange that's happening. See, Elijah, through the power of God, was able to resurrect this boy. And then you have Jesus on the cross. And what we see as an outsider might be someone is absolutely torn up and on a cross. There's death. But really, there's life. This exchange is happening where you have the Son of God who died for our sins. And in exchange, we receive eternal life simply if we say yes. This is where our hope comes from. This is a promise made to you and I on a cross. And our choice as believers is not only to just say yes, but to lean in on the promise. When you are covered, when the ashes are still stuck to your skin and you can't scrub them away, we can still say yes. And God will extend his mercy and grace. And you will be filled with joy and peace, and you will overflow with hope as you lean into that promise made on the cross. I also do not want to end this without saying, did you notice there was a resurrection at the end of the Shunammite woman's story? That's a big deal. There's a resurrection of a son And then we had the resurrection of the Son of God. You could do a whole other sermon just comparing these two stories. We won't do that today, but you could. But there is life, the promise of life, life eternal. See, placing your hope in God is placing your hope in the God of hope. And this hope is brimming with the promise of God. It is a very special invitation to all of us. There's so many takeaways from this scripture. And I, as I said before, I really pray and hope that as you heard the word this morning, not only were you like, wow, Leslie's really awesome, but that you also heard from God and that there were things that stuck out to you, emotions that were highlighted to you. Pay attention to those. And I invite you at the end of service when we have our praying team come up that you guys would receive prayer for what was highlighted to you. There's a reason for it. I believe that. If you're here and you've experienced deep disappointment, you've experienced that defeating process, and you need hope in that area, know that God sees you and walks with you. If you want to have hope again but are afraid, know that God sees you and walks with you. If you're here and you do not know Jesus, I invite you to do a tiny prayer with me at the end. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I invite you to. Invite everyone to. But pray that God shows his beauty. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. I told this to the worship team earlier. We're going to sing a song called Cherry Blossoms. We've done it at our church before. But the songwriter of this song said that this song is a resurrection song, that it brought hope again in areas that needed hope within his church. So I think it's very good. But I invite you to allow yourself to let go of any control and hope. Allow yourself to hope. We're going to pray real quick, okay? God, you know our hearts. You see the disappointment and hurt from the past and present. Lord, heal our wounds and infuse our souls with your hope. Show us, God, your beauty in the midst of ashes, your glory when we are too short-sighted to see it. Show us, Lord, how to have hope. Show us how to believe and cultivate our faith. Bring us towards yourself, God, that our hope rests on you, despite not having all of the answers or knowing every last detail of the what-ifs. Lord, we give you what we have, the fears, the doubts, the pain of yesterday, and the pain to come, and ask for your Holy Spirit to empower us with hope, hope that overflows and transforms into faith. Fill us with your peace and joy as we trust you, as we worship you, as we are covered in ashes or dressed in pure white. We love you. Amen.
Lord, you make all things new. walk through the valley of the shadow. And I have been tested like silver and gold. Lord, your faith has taught me to cherish that this light affliction is not my home.
Whether it's the Shulamite woman who doubts whether anything good will happen, or mourns when something that is good has been removed from her, there's a constant. And the constant is the presence and goodness of God in all of the realities of her life. Her job was, as ours is, to say yes, to leaning towards trust regardless of the circumstances. To knowing that as we lean into trust, He shows up, the living God, who gives life where there was death, who gives hope where there was fear, who gives joy where there was sorrow, and who is present in the midst of all of it. He leans back. So this week, we encourage you to lean in to trust, regardless of where you find yourself. In the big and the small, in the good and the bad, in all of it, to lean towards trust. And to be open to see where God will lean back. Through a verse, through a word, through a person, through an experience, through nature, through whatever form He uses, to lean back and whisper, "I'm here." We're gonna have people on either side here that would love to pray for you as we end today. And if you would rather somebody pray for you where you are, just look for somebody with a badge, or just raise your hand up. Somebody will come pray with you. Our prayer for you is this. May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may he richly bless you and keep you.
Que él te bendiga y te guarde.
May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Que él haga su rostro resplandecer sobre ti y te dé su gracia.
May he smile on you and fill you with his peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by our Father.
Ha sido siempre y sigue siendo hoy extravagantemente amado por tu Padre Celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo.
Have a great week of worship. We're going to still worship here a bit, so hang out if you need to, and there's prayer on either side.
See you Sunday.